Okay. Horrible sound came from the somewhere in the darkness. And yes, it was my alarm clock. I do not like my alarm clock. They're giving me a wake-up call. And when the alarm goes off, I usually lay there, and instead of popping out of bed, I lay there trying to come up with about half dozen reasons why I don't have to get up that early as I intended. My wife is different. It doesn't matter what time she goes to bed, what time she has to get up. She pop out of bed like a little doll coming out of from the little box. She can do that. I come up with all of this, a silly excuse. In other words, I don't like that alarm clock, as I said before, and I have to use it every morning. Otherwise, probably I will sleep all day. A wake-up call brings a new page in our individual's daily life. See, each person can decide what they need to do, he or she need to do each day, and setting up the marching order. I believe that we all need a serious wake-up call and a marching order from the Lord. The more I see the world, what's happening in the world, and what's happening in this country, we really, really need wake-up call, especially for the born-again Christians. Because I believe that we are living in the last day. And if you think that I'm a doomsday sayer, no, I'm not. I'm just being realistic. The Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14, Apostle Paul urged us to open our eyes, to wake up and see what time really is. And there's a new way to live in the light of dawn of the eternal life. We need to stay awake. We need not to be slumbered. A lot of people just go on another day, another month, another year. We no longer can do that because we have a time limit. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, your love endures forever and ever. You are forever faithful and you are strong as your word tells us. Your faithfulness is not depends on what we do to you, but it depends on your character. That's why it is consistent. Your word promised to us that you will return to get us out of this world. But you tell us also that we need to be prayerful and we need to be watchful. Speak to us today. Teach us how to reach out to this dark world with your love. And wake us up with your call and never to be slumber again. And we also pray for the President Obama's salvation, that he may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so that he may do the things what is right in your sight. And we also pray for our troops around the world and the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around our communities. As they protect our lives and properties, and we ask you to watch over them and protect them. Again, open our heart to receive your instruction today and engrave in our heart. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11, the first portion of verse 11, chapter 13, please. And do this, underline, do this. And knowing the time that the now is the high time to awake out of sleep, underline, sleep as well. Although the kingdom of God will not be fulfilled until the time of Jesus coming down and reign on earth during the millennium time. Of course, let me just give you a quick timeline. Out of nowhere, nobody knows the time and date, and the rapture will happen. And after that, Some people say there's some time will pass and tribulation will start. Or some people say right after rapture, tribulation will start. Either way, there will be a time of 7 years tribulation. After 7 years of tribulation, Jesus will return. That's known as the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't get confused with the second coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture. They are two completely different events. Second coming of Jesus Christ, and he will demolish all the satanic forces, and he will start the 1,000-year millennium time on earth. That's what I'm talking about. That's the dynasty of Jesus Christ. But it starts with resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years ago. I've heard of non-believers, I'm sure you heard it too. They say, well, Jesus promised that he will return 2,000 years ago and still hasn't happened, so probably it will continue to go on. That's not a fact for them. They don't know it for a fact. They're just hoping that it will continue, so they can continue in their ungodly lifestyle. I should underline, do this. So what is this? You have to go back and think about what we learned in the last three verses. Love your neighbor as who? Yourself and myself, right? That's what we are told in the last three verses. And then you have to go back to the first portion of chapter 13, and then you have to go all the way back to chapter 12. This, doing all that and establishing is the end time perspective here. In spite of what the non-believers want to believe, the Lord controlled events and people and the nations. Let me put it in this way. Let's say we are in the cruise ship. You can do whatever you want to do on the cruise ship. You can sleep, you can run around the deck, or you can go to see the movies, or whatever you choose to do. It doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you think. Guess what? The cruise ship stays in the course. It will go to the wherever predetermined course. That's the same thing with this. We can do whatever we choose to do. We can think whatever we choose to think, but God's predetermined course will heading to the end time. Yeah, everything will happen exactly the way God intended. This unveiling high time gave Apostle Paul a sense of urgency, a sense that all of us should have, and he also equated sleep with a spiritual lethargy, which I call Christian pew potato syndrome. Christian pew potato syndrome. I'm not saying that people with a Christian pew potato syndrome are not saved. They are very much saved, but they will have a rude awakening when they stand in the presence of God and face to face with Jesus Christ. So what would be the Christian pew potato syndrome? See if you are a part of that category. Number one is that the people who do not live for God wholeheartedly. People who do not live for God wholeheartedly. The people who are in this category are the more concerned about what they can have from this world rather than what God thinks about them and want them to do. Second category of people is the people who don't care to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. See, that through this, though these people are saved, as I said before, by the grace of God, they don't want to be known as Jesus freak or Bible thumpers by the non-believers, so they just keep themselves quiet and they never talk about the grace and mercy of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. In other words, they don't spread the good news to other people. I call them God's secret agent. Don't take it as a compliment. It's an insult. If you know the way to get out of this burning building, shouldn't you tell other people about that? Yeah, you should. But some people, well, I have my fire insurance paid up, so I'll just go my way. That's wrong. Third category of people. I want you to listen carefully, please. This is the first time to you in our church, if you've been coming here like two or three times in the last five times, I'm not talking to you. If you've been here more than a few months, more than a few years, and you're still not doing anything, if you are not serving the Lord and His body and the church, I dare to call you Christian peel potato syndrome. Because you may say that, well, don't you think that what you said is a little harsh? Maybe so. But if you are the one who is serving God, if you are the one who is living for God, you don't think what I said is now is too harsh. You are offended because what I said is just hitting you at the home. We are to live for God and serve His people, but you are not doing it for because you have come up with whatever the excuse that is. Just say, I don't want to serve people. I don't want to serve God. I want other people to serve me in spite of what God says. I know you're thinking that, well, that's really, really hard thing for you to say. My job is not to win the popularity contest. My job is tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, even if it offends you. Do I look like I'm trying to build a big church? Do you think I'm trying to make my face year to year smile like some preacher and try to not offend anybody? Do you think I'm concerned about popularity on TV or radio? No, I don't care about that. My job is tell the truth. So if you're convicted, consider it as a wake-up call. God is speaking to you. Now it's your choice to stay as Christian pew potato or become the servant of God and live for God for change. Time is near. Time to get up. Time to wake up. Time to do something for God. And put your name on the place where you did something for God so you can hear at the end of the time when you stand in the presence of God, you will hear the well done, good and faithful servant instead of, I went in. Okay, I'm inside of heaven. What does that good for you? Last time when I challenged you like this, a couple left our church. Because they no longer don't want to serve God, so I don't want to hear this kind of thing. They, even though they left the church, guess what? The Holy Spirit still nag at them. Verse 11 again, the second portion. For now that our salvation is nearer. Underline, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So what does it, Apostle Paul means, his salvation is near? Does it mean that our salvation is not secure? Yeah, it is absolutely secure. Does it mean we have to meet the behavioral standard for the end time? No. We don't earn our salvation. In this context, Apostle Paul used salvation as a comprehensive term describing that our past justification, our present sanctification, our future glorification in heaven. And when he said that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, that simply means every passing moment brings us close to the end, the hour, close to our glorification in heaven. You with me? Now, let's go down to verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. We all know that the right before dawn is the darkest moment. Right before dawn is the darkest moment. Let's face it. Europe has passed beyond help when it comes to the spiritual integrity and morality and decency. It's not unusual you would see the complete naked nudity, man and woman, and doing their things and homosexuality on regular TV. You don't even have to go to the cable to see that kind of thing. In, I believe it's Holland, if, correct me if I'm wrong. In Holland, there's a park. It's a drug addict park. You can go into the, this place, and at the gate, you can buy any drug you want to buy. From the heroin to the marijuana, anything in between. And you go into drug that park and do your things, the snipping and shooting, and they can do all that. That because that's illegal there. It is no wonder country why those countries going down the drain. America is fast following right behind Europe, especially with the new administration. It's nothing but the liberal agenda. They are fast following. I'm not just talking about entertainment world, but including church in America. The vast majority of believers are not studying the Word of God. Let me say one more time. The vast majority of believers in America do not study the Word of God. And they don't apply the Word of God into their lives. Consequently, they are easily taken by the winds of doctrine. They're easily taken by the winds of doctrines. And they become the prey of devil. And there was some wind of doctrine coming in and said, I'm sure you heard the animal barking and the holy laughter, all that stuff. Nowadays, is the most common thing is emergent church. That too will pass away, but this emergent church is bigger than ever before. We need to look forward to a glorious future with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have so much to offer to this world, that which is dying without hope of Jesus Christ. Not only can we offer the people a place in heaven, which is the great comforting truth itself, but we can also give them a purpose. We can give them an opportunity to contribute to the God's work and one day hear those grateful, blessed words, well done and great, faithful servant. Let's move down to the second portion of verse 12. Therefore, let us cast off, underline, the works of darkness, works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light, the armor of light. Christian's job, the glorifying the Lord and witnessing to the world through the righteous and loving and the joyful living, is best accomplished while wearing the armor of God. In fact, our mission is simply impossible without His protective armor. Let me put it this way. You have to wear that armor of God. Before you put the wear armor of God, before you put them on, you have to make sure that you don't wear anything else. You cannot wear the deed of darkness and you try to put the armor of God on the top. It doesn't work that way. Move down to what kinds of the works of darkness is. Verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in the revelry and drunkenness, not in rudeness and the lust, and not in the strife and envy. We have a sixth category here. The first four works of darkness deals with the morality. Works with the morality. If you want to put them on the armor of life, you cannot embrace this sinful habit. You cannot have both. And either you put on the armor of light or cast off into the work of darkness. Let me ask you this. Are you into pornography? And some of you probably are into it. And you're looking at me like, oh, I never do such a thing like that. But in the darkness in your home, where nobody sees, click, 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 you go into the porno website. Do you know there are 30% of the internet is porno website around the world? And the Christians not immune to it. Are you into that kind of porno website? It's not just for guys, it's a woman as well. Let me ask you another question. Are you into gambling? Nowadays, you don't even have to go to casino to gamble. You can do that on the internet. Are you into drinking? Drinking alcohol heavily? At the beginning, you said, I can control alcohol or drugs. Guess what? Alcohol or drug control alcohol or drugs. Pretty soon, alcohol control you. Not very long ago, I talked with an alcoholic, and he told me that I can quit this anytime. Guess what? If he doesn't drink, he starts shaking a whole lot worse than the reed in front of the wind. Guess who's controlling him? He's no longer controlling. Last two did, listed in the verse 13, the strife and the jealousy seems a little out of place with the other sins. These relational sins can be just as destructive as the others, even if the destruction is not as immediately noticeable. Unfortunately, churches tolerate with this strife and jealousy, which seems like a less apparent sins, a whole lot more than the other four sins. Strife and jealousy among the brothers and sisters literally destroy church after church. We call it church split. We call it church split. Our church experienced before. I don't believe there's one church on the face of the earth that Bible teaching churches never experienced this church split. The reason? Jealousy and strife and pride. Majority of church split is not because of doctrinal differences, but rather because of the strife and jealousies. Some of you are thinking, wow, dude, this is heavy. Well, it is heavy. Verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I'm sure some of you read the book or watched the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe from the Chronicle of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. And there's a boy named Edmund who easily won over the side of the darkness by the wicked white witch, whose method was very, very simple. She lured him with what he loved to have, known as Turkish delight. It's a rich and sweet food that he loved to have. And also she provided him with a vengeance and status. The problem with the Turkish delight is that it was such a driving force. It made him to be addicted to that food and eventually made him to betray his own brother and sisters. The appetite of the world and the flesh are powerful. Appetite of the world and the flesh are powerful. And addictive tools of the devil use. And he appeals to our love for what satisfies our selfish and a sinful desire and use it to tempt, control, discourage, defeat, and destroy us. We crave for power and money or food or alcohol or clothes or purses or guns, shoes, or sex, whatever that is. Even though we are facing in danger, danger of sacrificing our friends and loved ones, even our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, to satisfy their carnal desires. I just got a letter from the former pastor of Calvary Chapel. Dear friend, he was almost like a mentor to me. He got into this prescription drug because of pain. And he started to use it, and used it, and used it. Pretty soon, that prescription drug controlled him. And he lost ministry. Don't think that won't happen to me. Guess what? The moment you think that it won't happen to you, that is the gateway for you to fall into it. Because that is a pride. How can we resist this temptation of Satan? The Word of God gives us clear instruction in chapter 5 of Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Galatians 5, 16. Okay. Read carefully, please. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are the contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The key point is walk in the Spirit. Another verse, 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. Way in the back, 2 Peter, and past that, there is a 1 John, as we memorized. What does it say? Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. Let's read that thing together. Do not love the world, the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. What is the world? Go down to next verse. Go down to next verse, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Anything to satisfy your carnal desire and my carnal desire is not from God. Does it mean we cannot have a good things? Yes, you can have a good things. But if that good thing start to control you, it's become replacing God in your heart. So, here he is. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Walk in the Spirit. That's how to break the power of the darkness. God provides the armor to withstand the temptation, but we are the one who must put it on. If you're standing next to this armor of light, it doesn't do any good. Let's say I'm the police officer, and I have this nice level 4 bulletproof vest, but I have it at home hanging in my closet. What does that good for me in front of the villain's bullet? I have one in the home. That doesn't count. Unless I put it on, it does not protect me from the bullet. Same thing for you. If you don't put on the full armor of God, if you don't put on the armor of the life from God daily, the temptation will come right through you. First application. We identify with Jesus Christ by His name. That's why we call ourselves Christian. I'm going to talk about that a little later. This shows our solidarity with Christ and other Christians. Second application, we exemplify the quality, which is love, humility, truth, and service. Jesus showed the while he was on the earth, here on earth. We need to extend, we need to be example of this love, humility, truth, and service. Third application, we train ourselves in the use of the spiritual weapon, prayer, Bible study, and daily devotion, and fellowship with other believers, and other specific habits that can learn from Jesus. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, because each of us have a different style. Fourth application. We need to train our mind not to be persuaded by our desire for gratification. Anything that appeals to our physical body that would control you, do not get into it. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we received. Now let us live according to your word. Let us walk in the Spirit, that we shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. Let us not love the world, the things in the world, but love your word and follow you with all our heart and mind and soul and our body. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.